Good morning. Pastor Joe Helm from Brookside Baptist Church here with you again today, sitting in for Pastor Greg Huffman, who's off for a few days, but he'll be back soon, and we'll enjoy his programs again here on the Word for Life. Last time we met, we began to talk about the issue of faithfulness, and we went through a number of different observations about what faithfulness is, the idea of keeping covenants and keeping your promises, keeping your words and obligations, and being known for being loyal and faithful and being dependable. And then we ask the question of ourselves. We certainly know that God is faithful and that He's dependable and He keeps His word and He can be counted on. But the question for each of us as believers is, can we? Are we faithful? Are we dependable? Can we be counted on? Can God count on us? We made the observation that that's what the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ, is going to be all about. Not about profit and prestige and power or prominence in this world, but it's simply going to be about faithfulness. Faithfulness to God and His mission. And then we kind of took that and we zeroed in down to a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4 where Paul was charging Timothy, his son in the faith, about the mission. You know, it's just astounding to me that Paul, at the time he wrote that, knew that he was at the verge of martyrdom. He was really at the door of death. And of all the things that he could have talked to, of all the things he could have instructed Timothy, he narrowed it right down to the urgency of the mission of the proclamation of the Word of God. He told Timothy, preach the Word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That word preach there, we began to talk about our last time together. The word preach there is the word in the original language for to herald or to proclaim. And the one who predominantly did that back in those early times was the king's messenger. The king's herald would go out into the cities and villages and towns and countryside and would be verbally, vocally proclaiming and heralding the king's message, the king's instructions to his subjects, the king's orders and decrees, maybe some new laws or policies. Whatever the will of the king was, the herald had the responsibility of going to the people and proclaiming it clearly, loudly. Every subject of the realm would understand the weight of that. They would understand the seriousness of that, because this that they were hearing in the town square was the message of their king. And everyone knew as well what their expected response was to be. The response of submission and obedience. They were to be loyal. They were to be single-hearted. They were to be obedient and, as a result, faithful and fruitful for the mission of their king and for the kingdom that they lived in. But you know what? As you really think about this, we bring this forward 2,000 years, and we can really apply this to our own being subject to our spiritual king, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just talking here about hypothetical people 2,000 years ago. We're talking about believers today that are to be listening for the word of the king, that are to be, in fact, themselves preaching that word of the king, proclaiming God's word, heralding God's message. That's every one of us. Because every one of us and every person on this planet is going to stand someday before the judgment seat of Christ. Believers, of course, at the Bema, the actual judgment seat of Christ, but the unbelievers at the great white throne. And therefore, as a result of that truth and that reality that's coming one day, we are to be warning every man. We're to be warning every woman. We're to be proclaiming and preaching the king's word, and predominantly the gospel of the king, the good news of the king. But Paul here is telling Timothy that that preaching, that proclamation, has got three basic definite characteristics. Number one, it's to reprove, that is, to be corrective. It is to call attention to error and misbehavior. It's to call attention to wrong conduct and wrong thinking. What was the last time that you heard the word of God proclaimed in such a way that you were convicted of your error, of your sin, of maybe wrong thinking, wrong conduct, misbehavior, not living up to the expectations of your Lord? That's what biblical preaching is all about, according to Paul. Reproving, telling people where they're wrong, exposing sin, exposing fleshly, carnal thinking and conduct. Folks, if we don't, who will? The world certainly isn't going to expose their own sin. This is God's people that are to be making this proclamation of God's word in a way that it brings conviction and correction and attention to evil. Number two, Paul told Timothy that he's to be not only reproving, but rebuking. And rebuking carries with it the sting of moral judgment, designed and intended to be used by the Spirit of God to bring repentance, to bring a person under the conviction of the Spirit of God, to bring them to repentance and brokenness, to realize their personal guilt, and then their decision to turn. Confess, receive cleansing and forgiveness. Hallelujah, that's possible. But we are to be used by God in the process of this endeavor, this mission of proclaiming the word of the King, reproving, rebuking. But then I like number three, because number three is the positive side of it. The word in the English is exhort, but the word actually in the original language in the Greek New Testament is the same word that's used for naming the Holy Spirit as the Comforter in the book of John. The word parakaleo, the one that's called alongside to give comfort, to give encouragement, to give positive spiritual reinforcement and encouragement. In other words, we come alongside those that have been reproved and rebuked and those that have come to repentance and confession and restoration with Christ. We're to now encourage them and, as it were, grab them by the shoulders and help them make positive advance in their Christian walk and in pleasing their Lord. Hallelujah. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That is, with all patience. We all need patience, don't we? And with instruction. That is, with the Word of God. Why, Paul? Here's a question. Why? Why is this so urgent? Paul tells them right there in that passage, is because a time was coming quickly when the culture around them was going to be characterized by four qualities or characteristics. Number one, that they would not endure healthy, safe, or sound doctrine. Number two, that they would be heaping up teachers that would only itch their ears. In other words, please their own carnal desires and tastes. Number three, that the result would be that they would turn away from the truth, they would cease following from the truth, and they would head off on a path of listening to error and carnal myths. That's the fourth item. They would turn to follow myths. In other words, there would be no distinction between fact or fiction. Just a good story, just a pleasing tale. Kind of reminds you of Paul's reception on Mars Hill, where the Greek philosophers enjoyed listening to this babbler because he came with a new story. Wow, that's the culture around us today, isn't it? They're not enduring sound doctrine. They're heaping up teachers that will just itch their ears. In droves, they're turning away from following the truth, and instead they're embracing myths. That's where we live. But we have to remember that's the mission field. And so what's a faithful man or woman to do? Paul tells us right in this passage, number one, be sober. And yes, that means be sober. The literal Greek word there means without intoxicants, without alcohol, and in our day, 2,000 years later, without drugs. But it also includes those things that intoxicate the heart. Greed, lust, pride, ambition, hate, jealousy, and the list goes on and on. Be sober. Figuratively, it's talking about self-control so that you are in control and so that you can consciously obey yourself the instructions of our Lord and then proclaim them faithfully to others. You can't do that if you're filled with intoxicants, whether they're literal or the intoxicants of the heart. So number two, Paul says to Timothy, endure affliction. Bear up under the hardship. Stay in the hard place. Let God prove himself to you and others as he takes you through a difficult stretch of life. There's people there that need to be reached, and God has you there to be the light to reach them. Number three, do the work, he says to Timothy. Do the work of an evangelist. Keep busy. Work hard, especially at gospel work. And then number four, fully accomplish your assignment. Wow, what an interesting statement. This also can be seen in Peter's first epistle, chapter 1, verse 17, where Peter tells his people, if you're calling upon the Father, in other words, you're claiming the Lord as your Father, you're claiming to be a child of God, then pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, in awe, in reverence to that Father. Why? Because he's going to judge without respect of persons. And number two, he's going to judge every man's assignment, every woman's assignment. God has a will for every one of his people. And he's going to judge us based on that assignment, whether or not we have been profitable or worthless. I don't know about you, but it haunts me to think of standing at the judgment seat of Christ in a pile of ashes. All that could have been burned up because it wasn't for the right motive. It wasn't for the faithful proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. I ran across this anonymous quote not long ago, and it says, are Christian leaders called upon to cater to a wandering flock's appetite for worldly pleasures? Or are we called upon to function as instruments in the hands of God to reform and reshape those appetites to what is distinctly Christ-honoring? Wow, what a convicting thought, and especially in our world today. How many of us are yielding to the temptation to wander and seek out the satisfaction of appetites based on this world's pleasures? Rather, we need to refocus our hearts on the sanctifying power of the Spirit of God to reshape our appetites to what is Christ-honoring. And I hope that's your heart today. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Proclaim the word. That's what we're called to do. I hope your heart desires to do that and be faithful. Till next time, God bless you.